Hey guys, you're listening to another episode of Redefining the Counterculture on Witten Radio. I'm your host, Walter, and on the phone with me is Dr. Stanton Thomas. He's a curator of European and decorative art at the Brooks Museum in Memphis. Stanton, how's it going?
That's going well. Thank you so much for having me on your show.
Thank you. It's such an honor to have you on our show. We love the work that you do. It's just amazing. We wanted to talk to you specifically about one of your newest exhibits at the Brooks Museum. It's called The Art of Video Games. And I was wondering if you could just tell us a little bit about the exhibit and what went into the creation.
The Art of Video Games has been in the making for a long time. It started several years ago at the Smithsonian Institution, which, of course, as you know, is something much more famous for doing, you know, traditional art shows and American artifacts and things like that. But the curator of the show, Chris Mikulianos, who's a specialist in video games, felt that video games were so important that they needed to be preserved. So several years ago, again, he started to really research, document, and, again, preserve video games. And he fruit of all his labors is the exhibition, which focuses upon what really are maybe the 85 most popular, most influential video games of all time.
Very nice. Yeah, the exhibit, it's so, you know, it's so interactive and it's so out of the box. And it's just, it's a really, really amazing thing that you guys have right now. And I was wondering, I know you told us a little bit about it, but what were your thoughts personally on it when you, you know, when you learned that you were going to be creating this exhibit and bringing...
I'm laughing because I'm one of the few people in the world who doesn't play video games. And so I was kind of like, I don't know if video games are really an art form. But, you know, the more I got into it, the more I worked on the exhibition, the installation and researching it, the more I realized it's absolutely an art form. It starts with really early games like Pac-Man, which is fairly simple and very primitive. But by the time you get to things like Myst, which are really beautifully developed, they're very complicated, they have different storylines, they're really interactive. More and more you realize that, yes, these are art forms in every sense of the word. And in fact, they're kind of an amalgam of early art forms of storytelling, of painting, of drawing, of film making, of music. So, yeah, they're wonderful things. And the show is filled with things that everyone should see. And I don't mean just the video game people out there.
Yes, I think, you know, the medium of video games is just amazing, and I think, like you said, there's just an art form to it that, you know, both people that, you know, describe themselves as gamers and non-gamers will appreciate. I think it's an amazing, amazing medium, and a lot of millennials, of course, relate to the medium of video games, which is why I thought that this exhibit was just so poignant, because I believe one of the mission statement of the museum is to change the way that you see the world through, you know, art. And I think that, you know, this exhibit is really neat because it draws in both video game lovers and non-lovers alike. So I thought it was really neat.
And we've had amazing results as far as the demographics. So it's kind of expected to be skewed towards millennials, but in fact, it's pretty much everybody. Of course, little kids love it because it's the opportunity to really interact with games. But millennials love it too. But I've been impressed with a lot of people over 50, my crowd of people, and then we've had people, grandparents, and so older people as well. So it's done very well. We've had record-breaking attendance. And I always point out that even if y'all don't like video games, we have a whole museum filled with other amazing stuff, and it's always really chill. It's always really cool in there. So if it keeps getting to you, come to the book.
Absolutely. Absolutely. This might be kind of a repetitive question, but what are some things that make this exhibit so unique? I know the fact that there's, you know, an exhibit dedicated to video games is unique within itself, but for somebody that, you know, is going to be visiting the museum for the first time, or, you know, that doesn't live in Memphis that's going to be coming to visit, what would you say is most unique about this exhibit?
Probably the breadth of it. It starts with, again, the very early stage, and it's loaded with information. depiction of that, how these things develop. There's a lot of interviews, there's a lot of commentary from the designers and the gamers themselves, and it follows the development of video games from its very basic start to the very sophisticated thing. So again, you get an amazing range of different types of games, and you can see the development. And it is fascinating when you look particularly at the big playable games. There's five games that are fully playable. It's Pac-Man, Super Mario Brothers, Secret of Monkey Island, Mist, and Flower. When you start in the first room and then wind your way into the last room, where you end up with Flower, you realize you've gone through this incredible journey. It's over several decades, and it traces the development and the explosion of video games, but it also makes you realize how much the technology really changed. And particularly in the last room, you'll see things which, for the non-gamer types like myself, some things that are really addictive and wonderful. I don't know if y'all have ever played Flower. It wasn't something I thought I would particularly like. In the game, you're just the wind. You're the wind, and the handset allows you to control the wind, either faster or slower. And the point of the game is to glide the wind over flower petals and rocks and grass and try to change the environment. And it's just very zen existence. It's calming. It's also kind of exhilarating. And it's very addictive. So I guess that's it. There's the breadth of it, the range of things you can see and experience and play with. And then there's a couple other things which we've done to kind of tweak it. One of the most important of the projects we've added onto it is what we call kind of retro reimagined from Minecraft. We took one of our most famous paintings, Canaletto's view of the Gantanapan Campus on the Earth, an 18th century painting, and we had a company called VoxelBox digitize it. And so now it's a fully playable game, and you can go in and wander around and see. Now, it's such as Venice in Minecraft form. It's really cool. And it's on a big projection screen like the other playable games.
Oh, wow. It sounds amazing.
And, after that, if you don't make it to the museum, at least don't see a big screen in the museum, I think it's like 12 feet wide. It's also downloadable and fully playable from our website, and that's for free. So you can take it home, unlock it, and burn Venice down if you want. Don't do that in real life, but you can do it in Minecraft.
Oh, that's amazing. That's actually really cool because that it's a great incentive for, you know, people that are, I guess, thinking about coming, you know, they're on the fence about coming, and I mean that's a really, really great gift just to the public.
So. Yeah, it's kind of
perfect. Now you recently as part of the exhibit you recently had the Art of Minecraft Design and Build Contest, and I was just wondering how that went.
Oh, it went tremendously well. This is a thing we cooked up, knowing how popular Minecraft is and how people of all ages like to use it. So we divided the contest up to three age groups we had, and something like under 13, or 13 to 17, and like 17 to and beyond. So we had about 250 entries, and there was a first, second, third prize in each one of those entries, and we announced the winners on our big family day this week, and had record-breaking attendance. People loved it, and we really had a museum full. And in association with the Art of Video Games, we've also been doing a field series called Beyond the Art of Video Games, where we're showing classic movies like 1, 2 weeks ago was Tron, the original version of Tron, which is cheesy and wonderful. But we're also coming with really good, fascinating sci-fi movies like the director's cut of Blade Runner is coming up. Barbarella, I think, already shown. TH-1138 with the George Lucas film, and things like that, which really celebrate the imagination and the sense of wonderment in video games themselves.
Very nice. Very nice.
Yeah. And check the website for information on this.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And Dr. Thomas, when is the exhibit open? I know that I think it's open through September 13th. Am I correct?
That's correct. We are going to have it open to the public through September 13th. We are open every day except for Mondays and Tuesdays. You know, all museums in the world are closed on Mondays and Tuesdays. That's when we rest from our labors. And I think we open every day at 10 o'clock and close at 5. Don't quote me, that they are our website, which has our country's information. I know we're open late. I think we can open late It sounds like it's something that would be something for all you churchgoing folks. And then we're open later on Thursday evening, if you can't make it today. But check the website for times.
Very nice. Absolutely. And what new things are on the horizon for the Brooks Museum? I know that you had this museum until mid-September, or excuse me, this exhibit until mid-September. What other things do you plan for, like, the fall and the winter?
We have all kinds of very exciting things coming up. I guess the most important one of all is right now we're 99 years old, and in 2016 we're going to turn 100, which we're very proud of. We're the largest, most expansive, most encyclopedic, oldest institution as far as fine arts within, I think, a 3 or maybe 4 hour radius. So we're very excited about that. And since it is our centennial, we are not really announcing specific things we're doing, but there's some great contemporary things coming up. This fall, though, I will mention that we are having a wonderful folk art exhibition, which will have extraordinary pieces from across the United States, but particularly real things in New England, such as the Peaceable Kingdom, that wonderful painting showing the ram lying down with the lion. That's the big major project we have on the horizon. And then this coming spring, maybe 2016, we have the Art of the Lego, an African show. So also something very, very exciting.
Very nice. And so you have a lot of things in the works, which is really good. That's one thing that I really enjoy about the Brooks Museum is just the exhibits and the cultural awareness that you bring to the city of Memphis, and also just, you know, the many activities that you guys are involved in, and it just seems like there's always something going on.
Actually, one of the things we have up right now, which will run along with the Art of Video Games, is an exhibition called Buzzin' and Shruggin' Blitz Pistol Video Games. And this is a really cool thing, which was an outgrowth of the project itself. I had a friend of a friend named Michael Loy, whose tag is Birdcap Shredden, and he's a muralist. He's a street artist. He's very popular in Memphis. He's got a book on Broad Avenue and a couple places, particularly Wiseacres. And he heard that we were doing the video game show, wanted to be involved, and asked if he could paint a mural for us. I said, oh, that'd be great. So we were looking at the space and said, wow, look at this room. What are you doing with the rest of it? I said, well, how much space would you like? And he said, well, what can I have? And I said, you can have all of it. So he came in and painted almost 1,000 square feet, floor to ceiling, video game characters, freehand over 2 or 3 weeks. And it's spectacular. And it was a great opportunity for people to actually watch an artist working and to talk to him. And it's related with amazing characters. There's Super Mario in there. A little girl complained that there wasn't an L&D bird. My favorite, though, is Michael's really, really, really bad. He's really, really smart and charming and witty. And we were talking about Aztec mythology, and he, out of that, decided to make Pac-Man into Shite Totep, the god of flayed skin.
So, oh, wow.
It's a wonderful, weird hybrid, and all of these characters have kind of taken on new lives of their own, and they're giant spectacular. And that's become a popular attraction in its own right. It's a good place for selfies. You see a lot of people down there taking pictures of themselves.
Absolutely. Absolutely, absolutely. That was actually my next question is, how do you think video games or the medium of video games have influenced our, you know, the culture, our culture?
Oh, what a tough question. I think there's definitely a relationship. I don't know if you can say so much that there is video games that have influenced fine arts per se. But one of the things that's very clear, which is a surprise to me in looking at the exhibition, is the people who are designing video games, many of them are traditional artists and enormously skilled artists in, you know, the kind of plebeian sense, like, you know, this person can paint, this person can draw quite realistically. And what they've been doing is translating that into their own medium. So definitely it's a relationship. I'm just not sure what it is, but it's one that's very quickly evolving and it's fascinating.
Absolutely. I agree. Yeah. It's hard to just kind of pinpoint, it's hard to pinpoint, you know, what impact, you know, gaming or video games have had on our society and our culture, but the footprint is definitely there, and it's just really fun to see, how people embrace it, you know, in different ways.
Contemporary art is really hard because it is contemporary. It's all around. It's evolving even as we speak.
Right.
So, you know, give it 10 years, give it 15 years, and we can look back on this time, and we'll have a really good idea of what the relationship was. But, you know, unfortunately right now, you kind of have to make your own assumptions, and that's one of the joys of coming to this exhibition. It does give you a chance to really explore and really, you know, expand your horizons. Think about what art is and how video games relate to fine art. And again, we've got that whole museum for more traditional things. Now's your chance to compare the two.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think it's very fun to think about, and I agree with you. Give it, you know, I think we should give it a few more years to see, you know, just how much, you know, the impact has been there. But boy, is it fun to think about.
Yeah, it's a great show. Lots of fun to visit.
Yes, absolutely. I plan to this weekend.
Great.
Yes, sir. Well, Stan, I'd like to thank you so much for, you know, just taking time out of your busy schedule to do this interview with us.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you so much for taking the initiative to contact
us. You're welcome. You're welcome. Guys, if you're listening to this on SoundCloud, check us out on our website. It's www.wittenradio.com. You can also listen to this interview on your smartphone or your mobile device. Just download the Stitcher Smart Radio app. It's available for free in the Google Play Store as well as the iTunes Store. You can download that app and search for our show name. It's called Redefining the Counterculture. And this interview with Dr. Stanton Thomas will be at the very, very top. It's called The Art of Video Games. And you can check out the exhibit at the Brooks Museum of Memphis. Or the Brooks Museum. It's in Memphis, Tennessee, and this exhibit is going to be available to the public until September 13th, 2015. It's an amazing exhibit, and we plan to check it out. Check out our Instagram for pictures of the exhibit and also a write-up on our website. Thank you so much, Stanton.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you again.